Well, good morning, everybody. Today is March. There we go. It's not a good way to start the show. May 26, 2022. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, May 26th, 2022. Where did I get March? All right, hey, welcome to today's show. Perhaps you're listening today. Perhaps you're listening on the archives. And, you know, we archive everything over at ace-ed.org. That's the home website of our Consortium for Equity. And we got all kinds of stuff brewing over there. Our magazine, which is excellent, all about equity, which is called Equity and Access Pre-K-12. You just click on the cover, read it. All our podcasts are there. We're going to talk about this one today, the educator shortage, teacher retention, teacher recruitment. We have teacher-retention.com. Again, it's all linked over there. You'll see it. Okay, we have our Equity Excellence in Equity Awards. You can nominate yourself. You can nominate companies. You can nominate your colleagues. Companies can nominate whatever. I hope Jason, my good friend, does that today. He's going to be with us in a minute. All right, and I hope he does that. And yet, so there's an awards icon over there. Also, SEL Today, SELtoday.org. We got a lot of stuff brewing. It's big times in education. You know, this is a bad week, as you all know. And I just want to say this. I'm not going to harp on it because there are people far more erudite than me to be able to say it. But this was the week that we had that horrible tragedy in Uvalde, Texas. All those kids, the teachers, the whole community, the whole nation is in pain. And I wish we could do something about that. And I'm just going to leave it at that. It's frightening, scary. It has all kinds of implications, okay, in terms of everything we do. So and everything we're trying to do with kids and learning and getting people to become teachers, et cetera. So please just keep it all in your thoughts. You know, Memorial Day is coming, and we usually memorialize the soldiers, and we can think about memorializing all the kids and teachers that this mess happened to. It's a horror show. All right, we're not going to dwell on that any more than that. I'm just sorry. It all happened, and with a lousy segue, let me bring on my good buddy Jason Applebaum, who's the marketing director at a company I think is the right place, the right time, Proximity Learning, and he's in Texas. Jace, how you doing today? How's Texas today? How you doing?
I'm doing all right, Larry. Appreciate you having me on, and thank you for the introduction.
No problem, my friend. And I'll start to get a little humorous here. Where is Stephen F. Austin College, where you got your degree? Where is
that? Oh, that is in a wonderful small town in East Texas called Nacogdoches, Texas. It's in the piney woods of East Texas.
You were Jeopardy question last night.
Oh, was I really?
Yeah. You were part of the clue.
What was the question?
You were part of the clue.
Yeah.
So there you go. Nice. All right, congratulations. Yeah. Part of the clue on Jeopardy, my friend Jason Applebaum. Okay.
We're making it big time. Nacogdoches is finally on the map.
There you go. Okay, so what can I tell you? All right, and Jace, you're down there today. Tell us what's going on with Proximity. Okay, tell us all about Proximity Learning. And I'm going to say something. My friend Evan is the president of the company. Jason runs marketing down there, and I got to tell everybody: you talk about a company in the right place at the right time. Okay, it's Proximity Learning. All right, and with the educator shortage, let me ramble on for a second here, Jason. With the educator shortage, the need for equity and the need for quality teachers everywhere. All right, the company. If your school district, please go to Proximity Learning, okay, because they're going to help you. And now you go. See if you can top that, Jace. Go ahead.
Sure. That's a great great introduction. So Proximity Learning, believe it or not, has been around for almost 10 years. And we started off as a education company helping students in China learn English, right? And so our founder, though, Evan Erdberg, he used to work in the PD space for education, and so he would travel all over the country, the school districts, all over the country, and he would teach mandatory PD for educators to continue their certifications. He would show up to a district; they would have 300 teacher, openings or at least opportunities, and 250 teachers would show up. And he'd go back to the superintendent and be like, hey, 50 of your teachers need to make this up. They didn't show up for this PD that's mandatory. And he goes, well, superintendents kept saying, we just don't have those teachers. Those are open positions. Yeah. We've had them for a semester, for a year, for 2 years, for whatever it may be. And right now I've got a coach or a sub or another teacher teaching that class just because I don't have anybody else to teach it. I cannot find those teachers. And he kept seeing this all over the country. So he decided, you know what? There's got to be a better way. If we can teach kids in other countries via live instruction, that we can teach kids in our own country via the same means. So he decided to take this company that used to be called My Language 360, turned it into Proximity Learning.
I never knew
and
this.
He decided, yeah, so this is the history of the company, right?
Yeah.
And so he was like, all right, I'm going to find these school districts that have, you know, predominantly math, science, world language, AP courses, maybe some electives. They can't find the teachers because they are restricted by their geographic region, right? So the only, you know, the only people they're going to get to drive to their school are teachers within a certain, you know, distance of that
right.
school. And maybe if they're lucky, they can convince someone to move closer to that district to actually teach. But that's a tough order to serve when you've got schools out in rural America that don't have, you know, a lot of teachers don't want to move out to the middle of nowhere, you name it, America. Rural
that's
areas
right.
and urban areas are kind of our bread and butter. So we now service this semester or this school year alone nearly 60,000 students, and we have nearly 1,000 teachers on our payroll.
Wow.
So what we
Good
do
for
is
you,
we
man.
find those schools that need this help, and we say, hey, you've got a third period, you know, fifth grade science that you cannot find a teacher for. I've got a certified science teacher that can join that classroom live while those students are sitting in their desks. This teacher will be live in front of the room. The paraprofessional will be in the room to make sure that everything's good along the lines of discipline and students getting what they need there in the classroom. And then that teacher is their teacher of record. They will sit there from the beginning of that classroom class period to the end of that class period, 5 days a week or 3 days a week, whenever those classes are in, whatever the schedule is for that particular class, and they teach those students 100% live. This is not pre-recorded. This is not at your own pace. This is not office hours during part of the time and the rest of the time is on your own. This is fully engaged live instruction. And so that is what we do across the entire country today.
It's incredible. And everybody, it's Proximity Learning. It's proxlearn.com, P-R-O-X.
Thank you.
Proxlearn.com. All right. And like I said, right place, right time, you know. And
yeah.
And Evan saw this, your boss saw this, my friend. You saw this years ago. All right. And things
yep.
are worse. Okay. They aren't better. Things
yep.
are worse. All right.
Yep.
And I hate to say this, but I have a feeling it's true. You know, you have the educator shortage has been pretty bad over the past few years. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And people see this is one of the implications of the horror of what happened in Texas. There's going to be fewer and fewer people become teachers. They don't want to put themselves in jeopardy.
Yeah.
All right, it's that simple.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say it, but it's true. All right. And it's hard enough to get people to become teachers, all right? And then we got this aggravation, this horror. This is just one implication of it, all right? And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And talk to me, okay, about the two things I want to ask. A, the teacher shortage. What are you hearing about that, Jace? And also,
yep.
you know, there's another side to what you do, I think. You know, you're talking about a long-term teacher there, but do you guys
mm-hmm.
also do substitutes? Like a teacher calls in sick?
We can. Yeah,
yeah
we
just
can.
Just talk about
and
all that. I want to give everybody.
We usually,
Yeah.
I appreciate that because we do.
Yeah.
It's funny that the company has evolved quite a bit. When we first started everything, that was our bread and butter. It was the, I've got
yeah.
a teacher going on maternity leave. I just need a part-time person. I've got a teacher who's going to be out for a certain period of time because maybe they're sick or they've got injured or they had surgery or whatever it may be. And so most of our classes were – you know, part-time, where we were just kind of a, what we called our HR backup plan, or it was, this is an elective, right? It's just an elective that's 2 days a week. That's it. But we just can't find someone who teaches, let's say, this
yeah.
particular world language. And so,
yeah.
but I will say, as as the pandemic hit and schools started seeing the pros and cons, honestly, of virtual instruction, especially when you've got teachers that are used to teaching in a classroom being forced to teach virtually, that caused some problems. But the schools also saw, hey, this is a great opportunity for me to scale what I'm trying to teach across an entire district. For example, let's say a district wants to teach Latin, but they've got, let's say, 7 high schools and only 3 to 5 students in each high school are even remotely interested in Latin. They can't justify getting a teacher in every single one of those high schools to teach 3 to 5 kids only. But
right.
If we have a virtual instructor, they can set up one classroom that all of those students can get together, and now you are teaching basically Latin across 7 high schools with maybe 1, maybe 2 teachers. And now you have now scaled that equity across multiple schools. Another thing that schools have also realized is a lot of families after this pandemic, and even before the pandemic, they want to homeschool, right? They want their student to be at home. They want to be able to spend time with their kiddos. They want to be able to have a little bit more control over the educational environment. And when that happens, in most situations, when a district loses a student to homeschooling, they lose funding for that particular student, which means every student that leaves, they lose funding. That helps. That hurts that school district as a whole. Now there's opportunities to say, hey, I understand that you want to be at home and educate your child, but if you would like to still be part of the district, maybe you still want to participate in some of the sports. Maybe you still want to participate in some of the extracurricular activities. Maybe you'd like to go to the games. Maybe you'd like to go to the pep rallies, but you still want to have your education independent. You want your student or your child to get to know some of the other students, but you still want that education to be at home. We can offer an entire virtual academy sponsored by the district that you can still be part of and educate your child from home to an extent.
Right. It's amazing all the things you guys can do. And I want to ask you this. You brought this up a second ago. I hadn't thought about it. Okay. And I remember I was working with Evan. There was a group called the National Virtual Teachers Association. You guys were doing some partnerships with them. Are you still doing that? I don't even know if they're in existence anymore. Are they?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
NVTA. So, we got to work on that together.
NVTA. Yeah. That's right, NVTA. So the other part of this I also kind of alluded to earlier is you take a teacher who's a brick-and-mortar educator and you immediately thrust them into virtual education.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you. How do you train a teacher to teach virtually? That's
there
exactly
you go.
What, go ahead.
So
go for it.
It.
Go for it.
That's a tough transition, right? Like, yeah. I mean, even meetings, like the entire workforce had to make this change, and they didn't get trained on how to conduct a meeting via virtual environment. So we found this National Virtual Teachers Association, and they actually created numerous different rubrics to monitor and manage and measure the effectiveness of virtual education. So they set very, very high standards on the best ways to teach virtually. So we partner with them. We try to get our teachers to get NVTA certified, so they are a certified virtual instructor. So that's kind of a third party that we work with from that perspective. So they've done a great job there. Our goal is to get ourselves to like 80 to 90% of our teachers that are NVTA certified. They can get pay increases if they do this. And then it's also, of course, a great resume builder if they decide to teach virtually elsewhere. On the other end, we also have an entire teacher excellence team dedicated to observations, to monitoring the teachers, to, you know, PD for teachers from a virtual perspective. And so we put a lot of effort into ensuring that they understand the nuanced differences between teaching in a brick and mortar and teaching virtually. Every one of our teachers came from brick and mortar. They're all certified in brick and mortar. They've all had experience teaching brick and mortar. And so we have to make sure they understand how to move that over.
I had to be on mute while I sneezed for a second. Okay.
If a
school district needs a teacher, I'm going to say it this way. We work with the same organization, AASPA, the School Personnel Administrators Association. Okay. You guys are very involved with them. So are we. Okay. On our you guys are working with us on teacherretention.com. Excuse me, teacher-retention.com. All right, so we're all working together there. Are you guys I want to say this. Are you guys putting brick-and-mortar teachers in as well? We're talking about virtual, but I just want to cover the brick-and-mortar side. Do you work on the brick-and-mortar side as well? Not just helping them, but actually putting live humans. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, so well, it's a good question. We directly
thank you. That's why they pay me the big bucks, Jason. Thanks.
Yeah. But our parent company, ESS, they that is their bread and butter, right? So
who's
they
this?
Actually
what's
are one of the
tell
largest.
Tell me about this. Yeah, wait, what's ESS?
Yeah. Yeah. So ESS is Education Solution Systems. They are a much, much larger organization. They have worked with districts across the country long before proximity learning and helping them get substitute teachers of course, warm body teachers. And so they actually focus very much on that. So we work really closely with them. They have some schools, maybe they struggle getting that warm body, so they refer them to us. Vice versa. We still understand the value of having a live teacher in a classroom. It's not like we want to completely remove that from the equation holistically. So there are a lot of times where we work with a district. They finally find a teacher in their area that is certified and high quality enough that they want to teach the students live, and we are replaced. And that's fine. Like that's A-okay. There are more than enough opportunities for us to help a school outside of that. And so a lot of times that's a partnership with ESS. Sometimes it's just the school finding them on their own, and so on and so forth. So ultimately, our mission to connect all learners with the educators they deserve is, if that's warm body, great. If that's virtual, great. If it's a virtual academy, awesome. If it's part-time, great. If it's full-time, great. Whatever it is, to help these students get the proper education from a certified teacher, we want to help them accomplish that goal.
And you guys absolutely do that. I mean, it's just great. I want you to ask us, we're the American Consortium for Equity in Education. That's our parent company, okay, our parent organization. And to me, what you do has a lot to, I think with you guys too, has a lot to do with equity. All right, and I'm just going to put that in perspective from my point of view, because I live in Maine. Where I live is a little bit rural. I'm about 45 minutes from Portland, okay, which is the biggest city in the state, okay, which is a small city, okay. But I live in the bottom third of Maine, and Maine's big, okay, and up north there's nothing but trees and moose and kids, okay, and school. Yep. So there's just nothing up there, And they need a physics teacher, too. They need a damn good physics teacher, and that's not easy to find in the 10 districts that are up there, all right? Talk to me about – and if we don't give them that physics teacher, that's an inequitable situation. That's not fair to those kids, and it's not fair to us because we're not letting those kids have the opportunity to see how good they might be in physics or engineering or whatever the case may be. Talk to me about the equity side of what you do. I think that's real important.
So 100%. It's a fantastic question. And one of the things that we have found, aside from just physics, we also look at like world languages.
Yeah.
And you look at your opportunity to get into a college. Almost every college requires some kind of a world language under your belt, at least 2 years, sometimes more. And so if you come from a district that just could not provide any kind of world language, any kind of even Spanish, Latin, German, French, it doesn't matter. All of a sudden, even though you've got a high school diploma and you may have graduated, you are in a really, really tough spot to continue your education down the path of getting into a college. And so that's an area that we also see is a major concern. We also think about, let's say you do have a physics teacher, but you don't have any advanced placement, any AP talent in your school district. And now you've got some students that might be really, really good at these incredibly complex subjects that are paramount to the future of technology.
Absolutely.
And evolutionary, involvement. And they're not getting challenged enough, and maybe they lose interest in it. And so we can provide you with an entire AP department, if you will. So now your district has access to that. Another example that I gave earlier and possibly even, similar to what you had mentioned, let's say you only have a handful of students that are interested in a certain subject or a certain extracurricular topic. You can't justify getting a teacher for them, but maybe another school in your district has a few more students. Or maybe there's some homeschool students that are interested. Maybe there's some other students, who knows where, that might be interested in this same topic. You can now put all of them together, put them in one virtual room, and have one teacher teach all of them. And so from an equity perspective, that's the big part. Now,
yeah, it's huge.
That is,
it's huge.
Yeah, that's very much focused on subjects, right? Curriculum. If you also look at, there's so many studies, especially during COVID, that really looked at the overall impact of teacher shortages on the different regions of the country and different classes of families. And unfortunately, even before COVID, and it's just been exacerbated by COVID, teacher shortages impact the lower socioeconomic students and families more. And it's just, that's just the way it is, whether they're rural or they're urban. Those are the areas that have the hardest time finding the teachers and the biggest negative impact by not having those teachers. So we are also, you know, the vast majority of the school districts that we work with kind of land in those classifications. And so, you know, we're not going out to the affluent schools that already have every single teacher you can imagine, and they're just adding, even more and more and more, you know, curriculum to their students just to help them advance further. We do that, of course, on occasion. If the school district needs us, then we're going to help them. But the majority of the school districts that really need that help are the ones that we work with. So we're providing that equitable education to a group of students that just, unfortunately, across the country have a very difficult time getting. So even if that family were to move to another rural area or another, you know, part of the country that is in the similar socioeconomic, you know, band, they're more than likely going to continue to have that problem most places that they go. And so we are trying to do our best to reach 1 million students. That is our goal. Equity for 1 million students is kind of our new motto, our new tagline, our new credo, and we're doing everything we can to cumulatively get there. And so when we take a look at the impact that we have had holistically, we really just started like keeping track of the number of students that we have directly impacted back in I think it started about 2018. Between 2018 and this past school year, we've reached over 125,000 students.
Wow.
And so and that's unique individuals. So if they were in 1 year and they came back the second year, we don't count them twice. So these are unique individual students across the entire country that we have impacted between 2018 and today. And our goal is to build that number up to 1 million. That's when we really feel like we've hit a critical mass of really impacting the entire country's education system as a whole, making sure that our national scores across the country are more competitive with other countries. This can impact GDP. It can impact the future lives of these kids and their families. It can impact our ability, like you said earlier, if a student doesn't get to take physics, how do we know that that student isn't amazing at physics? How do we know that they're not going to be the next Einstein? How do we know they're not going to be the next doctor that solves, you know, that finds a cure for cancer? How do we know they're not going to be the next, you know, engineer that's going to help us, you know, with global warming? Who knows what, right? So we also anticipate, you know, if we can get to this million student goal, that we're going to uncover some of these brilliant minds that can change the world.
You're going to. You are, without question.
I hope so.
Okay?
That's the goal. That's the goal.
And, you know, we're talking about everything proximity learning does from the school district and the student perspective. That's what we've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another perspective here, and that's the teacher perspective.
Yep.
All right? And I'm just going to ask you, where are you finding, who are these teachers? And we've got thousands of teachers listening, okay?
Yep, absolutely.
They should,
it's a really good question.
The way of thinking they should get in touch with you, but talk about the teacher side. You know, you can say all this, but you still have to have the teachers. You have to have the warm body, so to speak. So talk about that side of it.
Absolutely.
Who are you looking for?
Yeah. Yeah, so I appreciate that, Larry, because you're 100% right. This is, we always talk about the impact on the districts, and the reality is the cause, well, some of the reason why we have a teacher shortage issue is teachers are being asked of a lot more in the classrooms. They're being asked of a lot more, you know, as they drive to and from their schools. They've got, you know, parents and students that are, you know, sometimes difficult to deal with on occasion. They've got families of their own. They, you know, maybe they are in a situation where they've got to move frequently. Maybe they're a military spouse or they're, they've got, maybe they recently retired, but they don't really want to retire, but they also want to have some flexibility to travel a little bit. So we are looking for those teachers that are incredibly passionate about impacting students, but maybe they're just really tired of driving to and from a school every day. Maybe they're tired of doing some of the other things that teachers at a school are being asked to do, lunch duty, parking lot duty. You know, there are some like that, and it doesn't make them bad teachers. It, maybe it's just because they're all they really want to do is teach. They just want to impact kids in the best way possible and on focus on their craft. And so that's where we're getting a lot of our teachers. And, you know, we're trying to do everything we can to help them understand you're still part of a community when you become a proximity learning educator. We have an entire department now solely dedicated to the professional development and community of all of the teachers that we're getting. Because that was the feedback we were hearing. Like, hey, I'm used to, when I was in brick and mortar, there were things about it I didn't love, but I really liked the camaraderie and the community of my other teachers. I don't have that with you guys. So we're like, all right, cool. We're going to figure out a way to set up.
Can they smoke in your faculty room? I'm curious. Can they smoke?
I guess they can smoke in their own homes if they'd like.
Only kidding. Don't do that. Don't smoke. I'm only kidding. It's a joke.
But so now we create these virtual groups and environments and professional development, and we do yoga classes, and we do walks. We ask the teachers, like, hey, go out and take a walk, and we're going to have, you know, as many teachers as we can hop on, like, a live call while we're walking and sit there and chit-chat. We'll do all, you know, as much as we possibly can to help them understand there is a support community. You've got a teacher to ask questions to if you're like, hey, how do I do this? How do I do that? What do you do when you're teaching these things? How do you keep your students engaged in these situations? You now have like a buddy system where you can reach out to another teacher and build some camaraderie with them. So we're trying to help educate educators about what virtual education can be. So again, during the pandemic and even before the pandemic, virtual education was always seen as an asynchronous option. I'm going to go through and some automated video or some automated process is going to teach me. I take a test. If I pass, I move on. If I fail, I redo it. And then I keep doing it until I pass. Maybe there's live office hours. Maybe there's, you know, 1 hour of the day you're with someone live. Outside of that, you're on your own. And so there's this negative kind of connotation around virtual education that we're also trying to overcome. And it's becoming easier now because the pandemic kind of thrust us into that world. But ultimately, we do a lot to help educate teachers that there are really, really strong ways to bond with students virtually. So some quick examples. In the brick-and-mortar situation, if you've got a student in your classroom that is struggling, it is very difficult for them to raise their hand in the middle of the entire classroom when they feel like I must be the only one who isn't getting this, and I'm kind of embarrassed to raise my hand and say I don't understand or I need help or can you please re-explain that in front of all my friends who might snicker and point fingers and what, you don't get this, how do you not, you know, there's a lot of that kind of social pressure, you know, to raise your hand and say I don't understand this when you're in brick and mortar. In a virtual environment, they can chat with their teacher directly, and they can tell their teacher, hey, Mr. or Mrs., you know, teacher, I'm having an issue with this. Can you please help me? And then the teacher can say, all right, classroom, we're going to do some breakout rooms. And they can set groups of students in different breakout rooms to discuss something, and that teacher can go from room to room. And maybe one of those rooms she has established as, these are the three kids that told me that they're maybe struggling with this, or the ones that I can kind of tell they might need a little bit of extra help. Now I can talk to them in almost a one-on-one environment without having to worry about embarrassing them. And so there's been a lot of situations that we've heard that are like that, where a student can then reach directly out to a teacher. And if they've got a problem at home, or they've got a problem in the classroom, or they've got a problem with something else, they can talk to that teacher without being singled out in the classroom, or without being seen walking into the office, or whatever it may be. And so there's a lot of opportunity to have a little bit more of a private setting with an educator and a student for any number of reasons that might be needed. And so we try to help those teachers understand you can still have these really strong bonding moments with these students virtually, sometimes potentially even better than you can in brick and mortar. And so, you know, these are all these things. You can have some flexibility.
Good point.
You can work from home. If you've got, you know, young kiddos, maybe you're a new mom. You know, that's another big group. A lot of new moms that are teachers.
Excellent
they
point.
They love teaching.
Yeah. Excellent
yeah,
point.
You know, and they're like, gosh, I would love to be able to teach, but I also would love to be here for my infant. And honestly, we all know teachers don't make a ton of money. Sending the student, you know, their kid to daycare and then going to teach sometimes is a negative sum game. And so if they can figure out a way to manage helping their new kiddo at home, not sending them to daycare potentially, and still teaching, then it gives them a really good opportunity there. So these are all the things that we try to leverage when we are helping, when we're trying to find teachers.
Like I said, right place, right time. Okay, really. I mean, you guys are right where we need to be. And I remember I sent you an article a couple of weeks ago about that, you know, they were talking to a superintendent, I think, in Texas about the educator shortage, and he mentioned if it wasn't for proximity, where the hell would I be?
Yep.
Okay?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Absolutely.
Remember? Yeah, I said that. But it was just an article I was reading. All of a sudden, you guys popped up there. Okay? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's that simple. All right? And you guys are – I want to make this point. You guys are nationwide. Right?
Yes, sir.
Right? Well,
correct.
Don't call
yes,
me
sir.
Sir. When do you call me sir?
Yes, yes, we are, Larry.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate that, Jason. All right? And, you know, it's all good stuff. And we're working with Jason and Evan, all gang of proximity, okay, on our teacher-retention.com. And we all work with AASBA. Okay, and I'm going to talk to you because I want to get NVTA back on. You guys are working with them so we can set that up, right?
Correct.
Virtual
absolutely.
Teachers. Okay, cool. This is good.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, my friend. All right, we got to go.
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you very
absolutely
much. I appreciate
excellent.
It.
Good job.
Thank
good
you.
Job. And are you in Austin? You're in Austin now, aren't you?
I am in,
are
Austin.
You in Austin,
yes, sir. Yep,
so
sorry, Larry. Yes, Larry.
Yes, yes. So you graduated Stephen F. Austin, and then you went to – you now live in Austin.
That's right. I've got a lot of connections with Austin, apparently.
Well, then I am glad that you didn't go to Stephen F. Chechnya College, because I think you have to do that. Right. All right.
Great
so anyway, on. Long way to go for a bad joke, Chase. Thanks a million, my friend. Okay, you guys take care.
Thank you very much.
All
have
right?
a great day. Take care.
Thanks, buddy.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, everybody. That's Jason Applebaum, who's the marketing director, okay, at Proximity Learning, Prox, P-R-O-X, proxlearn.com. Right place, right time. How many times have I said that? I actually believe it. And we're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. Please go over, see what we're doing at Teacher Retention in SEL, which is so important these days, our magazine, et cetera, et cetera. And don't forget our awards program. That's pretty cool. And all iconed over there at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks, Jason.